This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Tayyib. Weight control and nutrition, the effective Muslim way. About the title. Thurwatul Qalb means strength of the true self, or a strong mind. The TQ series is about making everyday life easier, more fulfilled and more complete, using Islamic principles combined with medicine and science. Volume 1, Anxiety, was about managing anxiety and stress. Volume 2, Tayyib, is about food and weight management. I'm sure you agree, an equally common everyday issue. In Arabic, the word Tayyib is used to describe things that are fine or good or wholesome, satisfactory or balanced, in an approximate way. In this book, though, I use Tayyib as a shorthand to describe the mindset and practice of an Islamic approach to eating, fasting, and managing weight, and its connections to overall well-being in other parts of life. In Arabic, Tayyib is used as an all-rounder for things or people who are just right, but it's also used specifically to denote, for example, foods that are nutritious, responsibly sourced, and so on. As a doctor, this journey has been massively rewarding for me. Long before I started writing any books, I set out to understand the Islamic approach to life in many areas. I discovered that Islam both accommodated and enhanced what I'd learned in my professional life. Islam seems to have a wisdom which is over and above plain earthly knowledge. Islam doesn't need science, and science doesn't rely on faith, yet Islam remains the same, and it is science which needs to keep evolving. And the more science evolves, the more it stumbles across the templates of Islamic teaching. The guidance of Islam seems to shine out like a palace whose windows are lit from within, a palace towards whose doors science and right-thinking minds slowly advance. I make it a priority to make these guides accessible, practical, and interesting to any reader. This is the most difficult part, because although consolidating knowledge from Islamic teachings and medical research is very satisfying, it is full of demanding decisions of judgment. I must constantly be aware of what I know and try to make it presentable and understandable to everyone, neither becoming too technical nor leaving out important details. Although I've approached this task with all my experience, and it's driven by honest and good intention, there will inevitably be errors or oversimplifications. I've made my peace with that, as a Muslim, as I must. Every time I publish something, I acknowledge that it is faulty, and I quell my fears with the knowledge that Allah does not approve of people claiming or obsessing over perfection. I accept this possibility as part of the nature and glory of our humanity. I will notice some errors after publication, as I always do, and readers will also do that. I ask with full welcome that readers of all backgrounds give me feedback on errors or other tweaks so that future editions can be improved, inshallah. As always, I've checked for guidance from Islamic scholastic traditions and texts and in live discussion. I have Mufti Menk in particular to thank for his immense and unwavering kindness and energy. There is no time of day or night when this man is unprepared to give of himself to worthy endeavors. He is, as I've always said, the real deal, even more remarkable in person than his public persona. As for the evidence from medical and scientific research, all the claims and facts are drawn from peer-approved and published sources. Should you seek them, details are available in my blog or by direct correspondence. Drop me an email. It is my hope that this book, along with all the other titles I publish, will eventually be free of charge once we raise enough funds through sales and donations to make our mental wealth access mission sustainable. Thank you for buying it, enjoy reading it, and be reassured that I have put the best of my knowledge in it. I want it to be worth your while for every word and page you read. Inshallah. T.K. Harris, December 2020. How to get the most from this guide? Take it at your own pace. Pick what works for you. Gently persist with the things you believe have merit, but let go of the things you can't quite fix after a few decent attempts. They will come with time, inshallah. Let flexibility and good cheer be your allies. Use your own judgment. Stick to your own evidence and intuition, not other people's. Try things for yourself and find your own truth, your own story. I tend to discourage people from believing in testimonials. Anyone who tells you a story about this or that worked for them. It's not that they're lying. They may or may not be lying. But the real truth is that stories about one person is just about one person. It's not about a population. As a doctor, I look for what works for many people, not just one or two. In a similar vein, Islam is for all Muslims, for all of us. The same Islamic rules apply to us, the same people. When I seek evidence to help my patients, I look for how something works on many people, ideally thousands of people, before I start to recommend it. A story told by one person, no matter how convinced they seem, is just their story. Yet somehow, we all do need to hear stories to help us understand the lived reality of a finding. We can read about the benefits of any change in some article brimming with facts and figures, but hearing about how someone tried it themselves, some ordinary person with a normal life and everyday problems, gives us a real picture and invites us to imagine what it could be like for us. Media messages take advantage of this. You get a forwarded message on WhatsApp or Facebook describing how Shahina, a mother of two, tried eating these special berries and within 6 weeks she lost 200 pounds. You see pictures of this person and it somehow seems so real. And you immediately wonder if this could work for you or someone you love. Unfortunately, however, these stories are mostly misleading, created deliberately for two rather different reasons. The first reason is obvious. Someone is trying to sell you something, and they are telling you one person's story to override your better judgment, preying on your hope for something to help you after you've tried everything else. The second reason is less obvious, but just as real. People like creating compelling things just for the sake of being influential. This is a powerful force which can be turned to good or bad. A powerful speaker can be of great benefit if he or she just spreads a message of goodwill using examples and stories. However, equally, some people like to make up shocking stories of miraculous, made-up good news or bad news because they simply like to see these stories go around a community, shocking people, getting people talking. In the same way that an arsonist deliberately sets a fire, hoping to see all the fire brigades and the people gathering round and all the news disturbance that their action has caused. Stories about one person's success or failure, even if they're true, may be entirely down to chance. To prove my point, supposing someone told you, "Hey, look, I was walking along in town and someone just came up to me and gave me $1 million. Does that mean that the same thing will happen to you if you go walking in town? So it's not walking in town that gives you $1 million, but you're tempted to think that. A story is about one person. It doesn't matter who that person is. Whether they are similar to you or someone important or famous or clever, they're just one person. What happened to them may or may not happen to you at all. That said, hearing truthful, well-intentioned stories helps us to enhance our ability to empathize and imagine change. They give us a framework for human experience. I can tell you that I myself have had struggles with weight since my childhood days, and it was with some relief that I started to look at how Islam would guide me on this matter. I can say, with hand on heart, that it's worked for me. My weight and energy levels have improved, and even my mental alertness and my writing ability have improved, alhamdulillah. In a sense, this reinforces my wish to tell you about the facts and truths about the holistic Islamic approach to eating and weight. My story helps me empathize with you. You are not alone. We have one special point that no other so-called diet has. This method is about our faith as much as our health. So regardless of everything else, we will be gaining blessings of Allah for trying. The fact that it really works on a physical level is evidenced by science and by your own results. And we will talk about the facts and figures in good detail. I have nothing to gain by telling you what I found, except to do the work of promoting a good message and helping people to lead more fulfilled lives. There is some monetary gain, but it's modest and well-intentioned. Book sales help to fund my wider mission to make mental health and well-being advice available free to all Muslimin within my lifetime, inshallah. But there is no gimmickry. You don't need to sign up to any plan or buy any special foods or supplements, and any other elements, such as the social side of things, can be achieved for free as well. Look at my Instagram bio, at Dr. TK Harris, for links to groups of Muslims who are clubbing together to make these changes and encourage each other along the way. Or form a group of your own, with people from your community, family, masjid, or whatever media you prefer to use, WhatsApp, Facebook, Snapchat. Or of course, do it as I did, entirely on your own. Whatever seems okay with you. Choose as much as you want to do, step by step. Start by making modest changes that you can keep up with, and that's all. No great ambitions or declarations, no dramatic suffering or heartbreaking sacrifices. Just you, your own mind and your body, finally becoming acquainted in a calm and friendly way. Ihsan. The results are in the hands of Allah. Submit calmly to that, and you're ready. Praying to Allah for His assistance will obviously help. And in addition, various people have found it useful to make notes or write their goals down in a little book or on their phone. Telling your partner or otherwise a close confidant about your intentions and plans will probably help too, but it's not essential. We are all made as different individuals with good reason. Paths to success are rarely shared. Each of us finds our own route to fulfillment, health and happiness in our own way. Take what you find useful and work with it in a way that you find best, in a way that works with your particular strengths and your belief that you will find your own way and that you are inherently worthy just as you are. Treat yourself with the kindness and forgiveness that Allah would ask you to treat anyone else. Finally, you'll find that this guide introduces themes and then comes around again to pick them up or repeat them in a slightly different context from one chapter to another. This is deliberate. Besides being a source of information, a guide should be written in a way that makes it easier to remember and to enrich the information. Exploration of similar themes in different settings helps the information to enter and stay in the mind more vividly. So I have set this guide out in a way that is sympathetic to the very way the brain works, inshallah. End of chapter.